Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Checkout. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Produced at WBGO in Newark, 88.3 FM. All of our shows are archived on our homepage, checkoutjazz.org. Are you checking out some jazz? The Blue Note recording artist, Kendrick Scott, also a drummer and composer, just released a new recording entitled When a Wall Becomes a Bridge. Obviously, that name may suggest a provocative response to current events, but really, Kendrick had something a bit more personal in mind. In this episode of The Checkout, he speaks candidly about the struggles he experiences when creating original work, voices of self-doubt in his head. He takes us on an emotional journey, beginning with the elation of being recognized by his peers, Robert Glasper, Chris Dave, even Beyonce, at his high school of performing and visual arts in Houston. Kendrick went on to even receive accolades with trumpeter Terrence Blanchard and pianist Herbie Hancock, but he still has his moments of insecurity. Stay with us. Kendrick Scott with his band Oracle, that's Mike Moreno on guitar, Taylor Eichstee on piano, John Ellis on reeds, and Joe Sanders on bass. They take us on a tour of When a Wall Becomes a Bridge on another edition of My Music. And Kendrick Scott is performing at this year's 40th Montreal International Jazz Festival, July 4th. Thanks for checking in.
Unbelievable changes in their personalities.
I'm Kendrick Scott, drummer, composer, musician, originally from Houston, Texas. Went to the Performing Arts High School in Houston, then the Berklee College of Music, and moved to New York City to become a musician. And you're listening to My Music on The Checkout. My newest record on Blue Note, A Wall Becomes a Bridge, is about points of convergence. It's about a balance point between the voices in your head helping you and the voices in your head hindering you. Finding that balance point where the wall becomes a bridge, where in society we can make that happen, and in personally where we can make that happen, where you can turn bad things into good things. First contact with music was in my house with my mother and my father and my brother. Of course, we went to church all the time. I stayed in the church 3 days a week or more. And the first time I felt the hairs raise up on my body, it was in church. And I knew there was something about the music that I wanted to be a part of at a very young age. Having something with a purpose. At the time, I didn't know what that was. I was too young, but I knew that I wanted to have that feeling more and more and more. At 38 years old, I'm still chasing that feeling. Then when I ended up getting a drum set, my first drum set, I noticed there was a certain type of euphoria that never went away, and I wanted to keep that. So I kept playing, I kept practicing. I went on to middle school and joined the marching band. That was a lot of fun for me because I had dreams of being in the marching bands and playing in the DCI competitions and all of that. But when it came time to go to high school, my mother, she said, "Do you see any professional marching bands other than, you know, New Orleans bands or something like that?" And I said, "No, not really." She said, "Well, you need to go to the Performing Arts High School." And my mom's dream was for me to play with the New York Phil. I just wanted to play drum set. My drum teacher, Daryl Singleton, introduced me to Seven Steps to Heaven. I fell in love with Tony Williams' sound and everything he played. And so for my audition, my drum teacher got me two rototoms and he connected them to a five-piece kit. And I remember playing dun, 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 solo. Dun, dun, dun. And that was my solo to get into Performing Arts High School. And I got in. Doc Morgan was so gracious to let me in. And there's where I met all my best friends now. Robert Glasper, Mike Moreno, Walter Smith, Jason Moran, Eric Harlan, Chris Dave had all attended. And getting to know all of those people made the extraordinary ordinary. Including, you know, Beyonce being there for 1 year and then the next year she was on MTV. That was so inspiring for so many of us. One of the best compliments I ever got, and it's probably the only time I really had a conversation with Beyonce. She was just, I played in the cafeteria and she came over to me. She's like, "Oh, you play drums good." And I was like, "Oh, okay, thank you. Yes, thank you." And that was it. So that was an amazing moment. But I mean, it was just, she was just Beyonce at the school. It wasn't like Beyonce worldwide talent, you know. Directly after graduating Berklee College of Music, I was on the road with the Crusaders, with Joe Sample and Wilton Felder. And also I was on the road with Terrence Blanchard, who I ended up staying with for 11 years, 11 great years with Terrence. And Terrence was such a great mentor for me. And through Terrence, I got to meet Herbie Hancock. And Herbie produced one of Terrence's CDs that I was able to play on. And Herbie played on one of my compositions on that CD and got nominated for a Grammy for that solo. So that really gave me a boost of confidence for my writing and my playing. The composition was The Source. Herbie Hancock, we played 44 shows, and the first show we played, I felt I made some mistakes in. I immediately went to Herbie afterwards and apologized, this tune, and this happened, and this happened, because of course I had a photographic memory of everything. And he said, "You know what, man, that was all in the moment. If you're in the moment, then you can roll with the punches. But when you're not, when you're coming with preconceived things, then it takes away from everything." Herbie was the main person that told me that mistakes are actually opportunities. One of the most mind-blowing things was for him to listen to me. To hear something I played come back at me from Herbie Hancock. When it came back to me, it didn't sound like music. I started visualizing things. I heard the wind, I heard glass breaking, I heard birds, I heard everything. And that was just the high point for me. Hey, I'm Kendrick Scott, and you're listening to my music on The Checkout. When I hit 36, I had already released 4 albums under my own name, and things were going well on the outside. Inward, there are so many insecurities. I was swimming in them. Those voices in my head, which were telling me to practice, were now overriding me, telling me I shouldn't practice because I won't be good enough. Or I shouldn't write because I don't write better than this person or that person. Comparison is one of the worst things that exists. I got caught in that and it paralyzed me for a long time. I was in a functioning depression where I couldn't see myself outside of myself. So Oracle, my longtime band, including Joe Sanders on bass, Taylor Eichstein on piano, Mike Moreno on guitar, and John Ellis on woodwinds, we were in the studio, and at this time when we were making A Wall Becomes a Bridge, we had a chalkboard. On this chalkboard, we wrote down sentiments: perspective, breakthrough, acceptance, contemplation, doubt, unfolding, acknowledgement, transitions, catalyst, resistance, denial, and innocence. And each one of those, we tried to create a soundscape that would encompass those feelings in trying to see how the internal struggle is and external struggle of A Wall Becoming a Bridge. So we wanted to create the record from the bridge point, from the ending, because I mean, for me, going back to church as a young child, I remember them always saying, you pray like you've already gone through the storm and you've come out the other side. So I wanted to make it, this record, start at the bridge, at the ending, where the wall has already fallen down and you've made it to this place where you realize that you needed that wall in order to grow. Because if we didn't have those walls, we would be stuck. The beginning, which is actually the ending of the record, Archangel, is a song that is dedicated to my nieces and nephews. And the sentiment behind Archangel is innocence, as I think of them. And as I think of a lot of us, you know, going through problems, we don't even know that there's a problem most of the time. And I think that innocence is a beautiful thing. As we go to that next level, we meet our nemesis. Once we find out we do have a problem, that's why Nemesis is on the record, Aaron Parks' composition. And the sentiment behind that is denial, because our nemesis is usually the denial of thinking that we don't have a problem there. For me, my nemesis is looking too much outward and not looking inward. Realizing that what I have to offer to the world is singular in that, whether I think it's good or not. Thank you. Hey, I'm Kendrick Scott, and you're listening to my music on The Checkout. Derek Hodge was a specific catalyst for me, my longtime friend and a great bassist and musical director. He was the bassist with Robert Glasper's experiment band. He was Maxwell's music director. I called Derek a few weeks out before the session, and I was telling him that I was so worried and that I really wanted to cancel the session because I was so insecure about what I had written. And he said, "You know what? We're going to capture that." And I said, "What do you mean? Either it's there or it's not." And he said, "No, it's inside of you. It's just all about us capturing what that feeling is. And people will connect more with that than they would with some perfectly written whatever." Derek reminded me that what we do is about intention. What we do is about capturing the moment. So in doing that, we also wanted to play one of Derek's songs. And we did his song, Don Blue, which is dedicated to Don. Don was the great producer, the Rolling Stones, and the head of Blue Note Records. As we arrive at the next song entitled Beloved or Beloved, this is very particular for me because it has a triple meaning. It's about learning to love others, being loved by your beloved, by your family and friends, and about the doubt that supplants each of those. Voices, they're always in our heads, but there's a point where they can help you and there's a point where they can hinder you. And finding that balance point is the main thing that I think we all have to do. And that's something that I deal with every day. And I think voices is the height of this record for me. Voices was the one song that I composed that I knew had the feeling of what the record meant. For me, the breakthrough moment was realizing that I wasn't alone, that I was surrounded by great people. I was surrounded by great people in my personal and professional life. And I think once you come out of yourself and let people help you, you can reach new heights, knowing that you don't have to do everything by yourself. Motion is written by Taylor Eichsti, and it signifies the breakthrough point where the wall falls down and you use those bricks to create a bridge. And but the bridge is the hardest thing to build. And the pulsating feeling behind Taylor's song Motion, I felt like that's what breakthrough feels like. And once we finally break through, then as it all calms down and the dust settles, I think we look back with new eyes and we have a new perspective. As we look at our problems, we now see them as opportunities because we say, well, if I didn't go through this, what would I be doing with my life? So that's what the record is about. Hey, this is Kendrick Scott. Thank you for listening to My Wall Becoming a Bridge on The Checkout.
Motion from Kendrick Scott's new recording on Blue Note, When a Wall Becomes a Bridge. And check out the drummer at this year's 40th Montreal International Jazz Festival playing at the Upstairs Bar and Grill on July 4th. Kendrick Scott and Oracle. And if you want to learn more about the podcast, all of our shows are archived on our website. Check out jazz.org, and we're on Twitter or your other social media platforms. I'm at Simon Rettner on Instagram. I would like to give a huge special shout out to our former intern, Anthony Nieves. This is the last show he helped us on, and we thank him so much for all of his time and efforts and love. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.